Bibles to John, the Gospel of John in the first chapter. This may seem more like a revival reading, but it is not. The way that the Lord has given it to me is not necessarily a revival sermon by chance, but it is very true what the Lord has given us tonight. And I ask that you would pray for us that we may preach it in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And I want to give you the thought to the sermon. It comes from one of my favorite singing groups, and that is the McCamies. They sing a song, Getting Used to the Dark. I don't know if you've ever heard that, or if you haven't, I encourage you to look it up and listen to the song. But Peg McCamey would sing it, and it says, we're getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the things that this life has given us. We don't really like light anymore, but we're getting used to the dark. And I will say this before I get to my reading. If you know me very well, and when I go to sleep at night, I like for it to be completely dark. I don't like for there to be any light. I like to be just completely in dark so that I can sleep. I like to shut the light out. And I believe tonight that our world that we're living in is shutting out the light. I believe that. I believe as God's children, a lot of times we shut out the light, even though it is something that's very much a part of us. I know a lot of people tonight that are used to the dark. They're used to living in sin. They're used to the things that this world has given them, and they don't want to give those things up because they're used to the dark. And I would encourage all of us tonight to never get used to the dark. It's a scary, scary thing when God's people get used to the dark. And I'm going to, this probably is jumping way ahead, but our country is getting used to the dark. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we're facing one of the biggest elections this country probably has ever seen. And I usually wouldn't say this from behind the pulpit, but I'm going to tonight. If you're not registered to vote, go register to vote and have your voice be heard. Because we're facing things in our nation that God's people need to earnestly pray and ask God for His leadership, His guidance, so that God might be pleased with the United States of America once again. Because I believe that if we don't turn from the darkness that we're in and go back to the light, God will destroy us. He's destroyed a lot of great nations. And I believe He can take this one down if He so chooses to. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, He's given us a lot of opportunities to turn from our wicked ways. And it's going to have to start, and I say this all the time, it's going to have to start with every single one of us. Because we are children of the light. Thankful for that tonight. First chapter of the book of John, first verse says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as are received, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace. End of true. And I want to use for a lesson text tonight, if the Lord will allow us. I guess we'd use two verses. I guess we'll just use this one though. The fifth verse. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We live in a very dark world. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not tonight. I believe very much so that we live in the greatest nation In the world. I believe we live in the freest nation in the world, and I'm happy to say that I'm a United States citizen. I'm thankful to be a part of a nation that is able to allow people like you and I tonight to meet freely and to worship the Lord in the Spirit and in the truth. I'm glad that it's that way. There's a lot of people tonight that are not able to do what you and I are doing and assemble ourselves publicly to worship the Lord. They're not allowed to do those things. They're punished if they begin to worship the Lord in openness. And I'm so glad tonight that as we've come this way, that we're not in fear really of people coming in and taking our lives for believing in God. But I will say this, if we don't turn from our darkness that's in our lives, I believe very much so there could come a day when our freedoms to worship the way that we worship tonight, they can be taken away from us.
Amen.
That's scary. That should scare every single one of us. But I'm glad tonight to know that there is one within me that lights this whole entire world. He is the light of this world. You know, we live in a world that I told you is very dark, but there's something in this world. There's something about this world that people can see, that they can know that there is a difference, and they can turn from their wickedness, and God can save them and make them a completely different person. I believe very much that when people get saved, it makes them a completely different person. And I'm going to say tonight, what we need in our nation is a whole lot more of saved people. We need people that are being truly saved and not just deceived by the things that this world tells them. They need the true light.
Amen.
Got a whole lot of people that have a fake light. I was thinking this afternoon. If you are around Christmas time and you see those candles that you can put a battery in, and they look like they're lighting up, but they're not. There's no flame in there. As I told you this morning about Solomon and how the fire came down from heaven, that was a light. It was a beacon for those people to know that God established Himself there. And in our souls, I believe very much so, there's a flame that God set and God does not intend for it to go out. We sing a song from time to time, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine." This little light of mine, I'm going to say tonight, brothers and sisters, we need to let our light so shine before men that they may know that God is real.
Amen.
Because we're getting used to the dark. You may say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" I told you when I go off to sleep at night, I like for it to be dark. I do. I don't like for there to be any distractions. And it's very easy to get used to the dark. You don't have any lights on and your eyes don't have anything to really go to. But if you've ever woken up in the morning and somebody's come in and flipped the light switch on and you weren't expecting it opening your eyes, all of a sudden that light doesn't seem so good anymore. It hurts. Sometimes the light hurts. It does. Sometimes it hurts people. Every time that I stand behind this pulpit and I preach a message of salvation by grace through faith, there are people, no doubt, that do not believe that are here. And if they're not here, they're listening somehow. And it may hurt them to know that they've been deceived. It may hurt them to know that they don't have the truth. But brothers and sisters, we've still got to sound the alarm. We've still got to show them the true way. It is a lamp unto our feet. This Bible right here, it is a lamp unto our feet. A guide to our life. It is something that I believe if we'll take a hold of and grasp with everything that is within us, it will help us on our way. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago. The leader wrote the book on it, and I believe this is his torch. And I believe he lights the way with the things that are in there. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that doesn't want this anymore. You begin to quote the Bible to people and they say, "Well, you're just reading from a fairy tale." Brothers and sisters, that's not a fairy tale. The things that are in there, God has made to be in there. He has inspired someone to write them down so that we might have them.
Amen.
It's important. It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is an important book. This is the most important book that there ever has been or ever will be. But
But people don't want it anymore. And if they do have it, it's not the one that I have. It's something that's been translated a million different times. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't even read the same anymore. How scary that is. People are taking the Word of God, the light unto our path, the lamp unto our feet. They're taking it and they're getting used to the sinful versions. You may say, preacher, that's a little harsh. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Anything that can stand between a person and God is sin and it needs to be cast out. If you read anything other, and I'm going to say tonight, there is no doubt many mistakes that had been made with the King James Version Bible. A human translated it. Therefore, it cannot be fully perfect. I believe God's Word is perfect. And I believe in its perfect form. It has everything that needs to be in there. And I believe tonight the closest thing that we have to the initial transcripts is the King James Version Bible. Amen. And I'll stand on it until the day I die. I preached a few months ago and I told you if you haven't bought a new one recently, you need to, because they're not selling them in the same volumes that they used to. Brothers and sisters, we need the Word of God. We need to be used to what the Bible says. This is the light. God is the light and His Word is the light. And I believe if we're going to stand the test of times as this nation is going to come back to God, they're going to need this book.
Amen.
They're going to need what it says. And if they don't have it, they're not going to be able to come back to the Lord. I told you we're getting used to the dark. I never judge someone based off of the Bible that they have. I hear people say all the time, if it's not King James only, that's not right. Brothers and sisters, behind this pulpit, if it's not King James only, I don't want it. If it's not that, it doesn't need to be here. That's harsh, but it's the truth. People are going to use the versions they're going to use. But what is that? Getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the things that this world has to offer us, but I'm telling you tonight, God has a way, and the way that He has it is the right way. We need to be used to the light. When it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not," brothers and sisters, the light has been shining since the beginning of time, and I believe that. I believe that God established this world. He made it. He put light sources in the sky. And ever since, people have been trying to hide from it. And I'm telling you, they're trying to hide from the true light tonight. They're trying to hide from what the Bible says. We live in a world today that says homosexuality is okay. I say that it's not okay because God's Word says it's not okay. And if God's Word says it's not okay, then it's not okay. People are living today and they're having abortions and they're saying that's okay. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says it's wrong. Therefore, I believe it's wrong. It's a hard message to have to preach, and I don't understand why tonight I have to preach it. I don't understand why this message is going out to this congregation. But brothers and sisters, we've got to stand upon the foundation that we sang about.
Amen.
Because we're getting used to the dark. I sat there last night, and I love politics, I do. I love to learn about them. I love to study them. I love to study politicians. And brothers and sisters, I watched last night for about 4 hours, and my stomach was just literally upset. I was sick over the things that people think are okay. The things that people are all right with now. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, those things wouldn't have flown in this nation. But today, people are getting used to those ideas. I hear people today that are supposed to be saved people are going along and going against what God has. And brothers and sisters, when that begins to happen, woe unto them. Woe unto us to say that dark is light and light is dark. If I were to preach this, this message were to get out very far, and brothers and sisters, I don't really care where it goes, but there could be people that could say, I'm maybe not a Christian because I believe that these things are wrong, but I believe as long as we stand on the book of the Bible, as long as we stand on God's Word, He'll take care of us.
Amen.
This message is not popular today, And I told you many, many times, I'm not a popularity preacher. But I'm telling you tonight, we've got to be back to the light. The light lives within us as God's people. And I'm not telling you tonight to go out and start a war with anybody or get into it with anybody. That's not what I'm saying. I believe very much so. The only way that you change people's minds is by showing them love and compassion. And you teach them the way that God would have taught them. You show them that there is a difference. You show them that God's Word says different. And when you begin to live that way, those people will notice and they'll want what you have. If you have ever been without electricity very long, you begin to really miss it. I never lived in a time where there hasn't been an access to a light source. But if you were to live many, many years ago, it would have been commonplace for there to be maybe candles or something lighting this place or lighting our homes. But today we have a very, very good source of light. And so people know the importance of light. But their importance is not resting on the true light. It's not resting on the one that can change this world. I've told you a lot of bad things about this life, about this world that we live in. But I'm going to say there's some good things that are going on. God's people are still coming together to worship Him. People are still getting saved. We live in a world today where everybody wants to hear all about the bad things. And I'm going to tell you, if we live in this world long enough, we're going to hear about some bad things. But I also believe that as long as God is still on His throne, there is still time for our churches and for lost people to be saved. Amen. The light's not gone. The light's still here. Maybe it's muted a little bit. Maybe the lights within us are diminishing. Told you we get used to the dark. The Bible says that men prefer darkness over the light. I want to turn over, if the Lord will help us tonight. And I believe that's where it's supposed to be. We'll see if we can't find it. 1 Peter. First Peter, 2nd chapter. Very familiar verse of Scripture. I probably used it here a number of times, but I believe it to be the truth. Believe it will stand tonight. As long as we're living, I believe it will stand. The Bible says that His Word shall stand forever. So who am I to say that it won't stand forever? I believe very much so. That if God said it, we better understand it and we better believe it. We're living in a world today where they're not. And that scares me to death. Verse 9 of the second chapter of the book of 1 Peter says this: But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I believe that's what we are as God's people. I believe we are a chosen generation. I believe that we are a royal priesthood. I believe that we are a peculiar people. And if we're not a peculiar people, we ought to be. You know what peculiar people are? I joke around a lot with my grandmother because if this was turned this way, she'd want to know why it wasn't turned that way. She likes to know. She likes to have an idea for everything. She is very peculiar in the way that she does things. And I guess that's where I get it. But I believe very much so that God's people ought to be people that go after to seeking the truth. And I believe very much so if we see something that acts like truth, we better make sure it's truth. I believe that. A lot of things present itself as truth. But the things that we need is the true things that God has for us. Peculiar people are people that don't just go along with everything. The world would tell you, you need to go along with the things that are happening in our nation. We need to go along with the things that are taking about around us. But brothers and sisters, I'm inclined to believe that God's people are supposed to be a chosen generation. A people that are set apart from the things of this world. Choose you this day in whom you will serve. As for me, I will serve the Lord. We live in a world that doesn't understand those scriptures. I believe the Bible also teaches us to be separate from the world. You say, preacher, how can we do that? How are we separate from the world? We have to live in this world. Yes, we do. We have to live every day that we're living and breathing. We have to do that here. But because we're here doesn't mean that we have to partake of everything that is here. There's a whole lot of things that used to be called sin, and now they're called acceptable. Used to be a lot of things that we kept behind closed doors that aren't kept behind closed doors anymore. Used to be, and probably more so before I was born, but used to be able to turn on the television and it wasn't a complete mess. But anymore you turn it on and the things that you see, the things that are there, the things that come through, they're not things that God's people need in their minds and in their hearts, because I very much believe that the old adage, trash in, trash out, is something that is very true. I believe the more that we fill our minds with the things of this world, the more we're going to act like the world. But the more we fill our minds with the things of God, the more we'll act and try to be like God. I believe He tells us to try to be like Him. It says to go on unto perfection. I believe we can't be perfect, but we sure better try. We sure better be going after the Lord. If we want God, and I preached this morning about so that He might meet with them, I believe very much so, if we want God to meet with us here at Mount Calvary, we've got to live the Bible every day that we live.
Amen.
It doesn't just happen an hour on Sunday. It doesn't. I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. I'm preaching to people that are always here. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God's people here at Mount Calvary have a desire to see God's Word go forth. Thankful for that. And I'm telling you, if we want God to meet with us, we've got to continue to go after that. I believe those people, when they were offering their sacrifices, they were getting themselves in a shape where they could worship God. We talked a few Wednesday nights ago, maybe a couple months ago, about crucifying ourselves daily. It's hard to do that. Really hard to crucify ourselves daily. But I believe very much so in the service for the Lord. We must be ready and able to serve Him anytime and anywhere. And I believe very much so our prayer lives have got to stay as close to God as we can. I said we're getting used to the dark. People today like darkness. We live in a world that sin looks really, really good. It looks like fun. It looks like things we want to do. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a whole lot of young people out there that are getting caught up in sin, and they're getting out of the Lord's church, and they're going off into everything. As I stand before you tonight, as we begin to grow and people begin to bring their families in here, and that's my prayer, is that God will send families here. And I say families because that's how churches, that's how they grow. They grow family by family, children by children. And as they come in and as they begin to get saved and grow up and mature, brothers and sisters, we've got to teach these things. We've got to guard them against the things of the devil, the wiles of the devil. I believe very much so that when they get here, we need to show them the right way. We need to show them why we believe what we believe. If we're not used to the dark, we should be used to the light. And we should want everybody around us to be used to the light. So I'm calling on Mount Calvary to be ready for this time. You may say, preacher, but you look out on the congregation on Sunday morning and there's not very many young people here. I believe if we'll ask God for them, and I believe if we'll earnestly seek them, and I believe if God sees our earnest hearts and our pleas and our prayers, He will grant us those things so that our church can go forth and grow.
Amen.
But we can't be used to the dark. We can't be used to the things of this life. I don't want people to come in here and see sin. I want them to come in and I want them to see the Lord. I want them to come in and I want them to feel the Lord. And I want them to know that there's a difference. I tell you all the time that I never judge a church by the worship service that they have. But I will say this. If the worship service resembles the world, it doesn't need to be in the Lord's church. If it resembles something that would be worldly, we don't need it. We need what God would be pleased with. I believe in doing things in the right way, decently, and in order. I believe that. I'll say this about Mount Calvary Church. We do things decently and in order. And I believe that people can take notice of that. We live in a world that looks more toward the things of the world when they go to the Lord's house than they do of things of God when they go to the Lord's house. I had a conversation with a man recently, and I'm not going to say where it's at because I never know if they may be listening to this after a while, maybe sometime. But I'll say this, the man that I talked to, his family has left a church and they're going to a modern church there and close to home, I'll say that. And he told me, he said they're building a new building and they don't want it to look like a church. They want it to be something that doesn't resemble church because they say that today people are turned off from the traditional looking churches. And I said, well, bless their hearts. If they come in Mount Calvary, they just see just a regular old church building. And I said, what makes you believe that people are turned off by that? And they say, well, if they go to church, they feel like they're going to church. Well, duh. This shouldn't be the world. It shouldn't be our couch at home. It shouldn't be our recliner at home. It shouldn't be watching television. It shouldn't be like watching the Billy Graham show. And I'm not encouraging you to do that, but we've got to be different than those things. And as I sat there, I kept thinking, well, that's just what the world wants. They want to go to church and not feel like they've been to church. And he said, well, you know, if you have pews and you have a piano and you have songbooks, people just, they get caught up in how old all of that is. And my ears kind of perked up and I said, guess what? I'm an old-fashioned missionary Baptist. I guess they really wouldn't like us. And he said, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. People are going to go to church. And I said, I caught you because you knew that there was something different about the way that we worship. He's been to a missionary Baptist church. He knows the way I believe. And I'm going to say tonight, if that's what the world is looking for, they're looking in the wrong directions. They're looking for coffee shops and pastors in skinny jeans, and they won't cut it anymore. We've got to have God.
Amen.
Churches need to have God. Homes need to have God. Workplaces need to have God. Our individual lives, we need God. We need the light to light up our life in such a way that when we walk out into the world, they know that we're full of God and full of His Holy Spirit. I was talking to that man, and I know what they're building. And if you look at the trend of the world today, people are flocking to those types of buildings. If people are building churches nowadays, they don't look like this. They don't put pews in there anymore. They don't really even have one of these. Visited a church one time with a friend, and the guy got up on a stool and had a little table up there, and that's where he preached from. And I'm not saying that the truth can't be done that way, but I'm saying this. I believe God's house needs to be respected as God's house. I told you about the temple today. It was a place that was sacred. God's house, this house, is sacred. They say, preacher, what do you mean? Should we worship this house? Not at all. But I believe this is a place where Mount Calvary Church comes together and meets. And what does Mount Calvary Church have that a lot of people, a lot of organizations today, they don't have? The Spirit of God. He doesn't meet with them. I believe that. And I believe if we're going to come here, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and we're going to try to worship the Lord, we've got to be going after the light. Everything that we do, everything that's preached from back here, every song that's sung from up here, every testimony that's told from out there needs to come from God. And it needs to be something that goes toward the light. And I'm thankful tonight. I'm going to say this, and maybe it's the wrong choice of words. I'm proud of this church. The Bible says don't be proud, but I'm proud of this place. Because she's still holding to the precepts of God's Word, and she is still one that loves lost people. We talk about leaving our first love, and I believe that the Lord is our first love, but I also believe that our first love should be lost people. And I believe we need to go out after them. I'm going to say something tonight, and I'm going to try to close here in just a moment. I promise I didn't intend to preach this long, actually. And I'm going to say this tonight. We are so blessed at this church to have people that just kind of come in. They just kind of show up. And you know, here recently we've had them start returning back and coming back. And I'm thankful for that. We've got people that are contacting us through our website, not for, you know, this and that and the other, but they're wanting to know more about the truth. They're wanting to know more about the church. As much as that guy believes people are going toward that trend, I believe if we really want to know the truth, they're seeking after the Lord. And eventually, the worldly aspect, it won't fulfill what they need. And they're going to come back searching for the Lord. They're going to come back searching for something that will last. Those things, you know what they are? They're fads. And they won't last. Won't. But what will last is the true Word of God. The light will last. It's not one of those candles that after the battery goes out, it's worthless. But what it is it's a flame from God. There's a flame in Washington, D.C., and I believe it's called the Eternal Flame or the Everlasting Flame, whichever one it is, and it never goes out. This flame that I have, it may dwindle down a little bit. If you've ever watched a fire, sometimes it gets down kind of low. But you start stoking that old thing, and here she comes roaring again. This little fire that I have down in me, the Lord said it one night when I prayed to Him, and guess what? It's still going today. There's been times it's gotten down real low. But I'm so thankful that the Lord can take something like me. Oh, and He can change it into whatever this is before you tonight. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us not be used to the dark. Let us be going after the things of God. I'm going to tell you, as we move forward into this year and next year and however long the Lord allows us to be together and however long the Lord allows time to stand, these messages are going to become increasingly harder for us as God's men to preach. I'm going to say, preacher, you're supposed to follow the Lord, and I am, and I will do that. And I will preach these messages when God gives them to me because I believe them to be the truth. But brothers and sisters, there might come a day when these things will not be tolerated and they may be illegal in this country. I'm not saying they're upon us, but they could be someday. We're still going to stand behind the Word of God.
Amen.
We're still going to go after the things of the light, and we're not going to turn to the things of the darkness, even if they have to hang me upside down on an old cross. If that's what they have to do. If they have to take me out and kill me to get me from preaching the Word of God, then that's just what they'll have to do. And you say, preacher, if they come at you trying to kill you, you'd probably be the first one out the door. Brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that God will give me enough courage and faith. And I believe that He will, those that have truly been saved. I believe He'll allow them to stand upon the Word of God. We sang that song, How Firm a Foundation. Let us base our doctrines, our churches, our lives, and our home lives on this. All of our Bible studies, all of our songs, let us base them on the Word of God. May God bless you is our prayer tonight. While we stand and while we sing.